This podcast is from the IDPF Digital Book 2012 Conference at Book Expo America.
Well, I'd like to introduce Liz Castro, our next presenter with Cookwood Press, and she is an EPUB expert and EPUB author, and she's going to take you through writing and developing an EPUB 3. Thank you. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you so much, Garth. It is a pleasure to be here. A little nerve-wracking. I'll put this down so I can see. So I'm going to talk about EPUB 3 and about actually writing EPUB 3. There's a lot of hype about EPUB 3. It's the next big thing. You can do all of these amazing. You can add all of these amazing features to your book. And I think people start thinking, wow, does an EPUB 3 book have to have all those amazing things? And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. The other thing is the question about, okay, when can we start? Can we start now? Is it time? Or is the market ready? Are the tools ready? I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So what is EPUB 3? I think about EPUB 3 is to EPUB 2 as HTML 5 is to XHTML, roughly. HTML5 is a sort of superset of XHTML. It has more things, but it includes most of the things in XHTML. In that same way, EPUB3 has most of the things that EPUB2 does. But it doesn't always have to have all of them. Look, for example, at this HTML5 document. Very, very simple. This could be HTML1. It could be HTML2. It could be HTML3.2. But it's... So it's whatever you want it to be. So an EPUB 3 document could just very easily include, you know, it could be a straight text fiction. It doesn't have to have canvas and multi-columns and fixed layout and media overlays and video and audio all together. One of the features of EPUB 3 is that, well, one of the suggestions is that EPUB 3 readers should be backward compatible with EPUB 2. But note that it's should, not must. And that's something to keep in mind. But what I want to show you is that the actual files are really not that different. There are a few key differences that you have to code. And then once you do that, you'll have the EPUB 3 document. What tools can you use to create EPUB 3? About 2 weeks ago, Adobe released InDesign CS6. It now has EPUB 3 as one of the export options in the general panel. The code validates. It has a little star because if you don't follow the rules as the book designer and you don't put a title for your ebook, the resulting EPUB 3 doesn't validate. But that's not really Adobe's fault. It's more, it's sort of a shared fault. You know, they could fix it for you. They could put some default option. But you should really be putting the title of your book anyway. The CSS support is really pretty good. The EPUB 3 document that that InDesign creates includes both an NCX file and that HTML-based TOC, which I'm going to talk about in more detail. And it can separate documents into chapters automatically, which is really nice. Hold on, I'll get us some water. It's not perfect yet, though, unfortunately. You can't just press a button, one single button, and have it create your EPUB 3 document. So... you'll still need a text editor of some kind. I like to use BBEdit. It's a Mac-only product. But you can use Oxygen, for example, as a sort of high-powered text editor. There are free text editors like Text Wrangler or Notepad++. There are options for Windows and PCs that I'm not as familiar with. And with the text editor, you can go into the individual documents in your EPUB 3 file and edit them directly. You can either do that from scratch, or you can take the EPUB 3 that InDesign creates and then modify it. The next important tool is EPUB Check. Currently, I believe, is in 3, beta 3. And what EPUB Check does is it looks at your EPUB document and it says, you've followed all the rules or you haven't, and this is where you've messed up. There's one really important thing to remark about EPUB Check 3, which is that just because your EPUB document passes EPUB Check 3, it doesn't make it EPUB 3. So EPUB Check 3 actually validates both EPUB 2 and EPUB 3 files. And it looks at the document to say, okay, is this EPUB 2? I'm going to check it against the EPUB 2 rules. And if it looks at the document and says it's EPUB 3, then it checks it against the EPUB 3 rules. And then finally, EPUB 3 readers. Right now there are three. On the left, we have Readium, which is an open source project spearheaded by the IDPF. It works on the desktop. Particularly in Chrome. It's an extension to Chrome. I've heard that they're wanting it to be incorporated in other e-readers. In the middle is a program called Azardi. It's developed by InfoGrid Pacific in India. It's an interesting project. And on the right is iBooks, which is kind of exciting, I think. Last week, maybe the week before, it's not more than 2 weeks, Apple announced that it was officially accepting flowing EPUB 3 documents into the iBook store. Not fixed layout yet, but I assume that will come soon. And not only that, the EPUB 3 documents in iBooks actually incorporate some of the new features available, in EPUB 3, which is neat. I'm going to show you some of that. So what's different? And particularly, what's different in a file, in an EPUB 3 file? I was really glad that Liza showed some code up on the screen, because I tend to do that a lot. I want to show you the specifics so you can see really what's different between EPUB 2 and EPUB 3. The very first thing is pretty obvious. In the package element, you have to put version equals 3.0, not 2.0. And that, again, is what is going to trigger EPUB Check 3 to look at your document as an EPUB 3 file. The next thing is that there is a new meta element called DC terms colon modified that lets you put the date that your EPUB 3 document was last changed. This can be really useful for following your workflow, knowing when that document was last updated. You might be able to check, you might be able to see, if you have conflicting versions. That's a useful thing. That goes in the metadata section at the top of your content.opf file. The next thing is the table of contents. In EPUB 2, if you're familiar with EPUB 2 production, there's an NCX file, and it's really a pain to write. It has this numbering system, and if you add something in afterward, you have to renumber everything. And although you can create scripts to automate some of that, it's not very nice. So in EPUB 3, there's this new HTML-based TOC, and it's made up of, I think I have this bigger, yeah. First of all, as you can see here, it's just a basic HTML5 document. There's nothing special about it. Starts with, the HTML element and a head and a body. And then the important bit for it being a table of contents is that it has this nav element. It has a namespace declaration. It has an ID, which is equal to TOC. And particularly important, it has this EPUB colon type attribute whose value is also TOC. This is a required part of EPUB 3. You cannot omit it. The NCX file, which you might have created for an EPUB 2 file, you're allowed to include as well, but it's completely optional. This file you must include with EPUB 3. So that's the container element. The nav is the container element. And then inside, it's a basic ordered list. There's nothing special about it. It's pure HTML. You're allowed to have nested lists if you like, but you don't have to. As many levels as you want. I'm not sure, what kind of support all of the nesting would get in different e-readers. I was talking last night to somebody about the importance of having collapsible lists and TOCs. That does not exist yet, but certainly there's the capability for it. And then to finish off the table of contents, That was the document that I showed you before, but in the content.opf file, it's also important to declare that item and to add properties equals nav in the declaration that's in the manifest. So those are the to create the table of contents, you have to have the nav in the table of contents file, you have to have an ordered list, and then in the content.opf file, you have to declare it as a nav. And here's an example. I've been using Frankenstein as my example text lately. And this is an actual HTML-based TOC in iBooks. Another interesting thing about this is that if you have an NCX file and an HTML-based TOC in an EPUB 3 document in iBooks, it actually looks at the HTML TOC file first. So it's the HTML TOC file that takes precedence. I noticed this because I was trying to fix something, and I was fixing the NCX, and it wouldn't change. So let's look at the HTML5 documents, what exactly they look like, and how they're different from the XHTML 1.1 documents that were required under EPUB 2. The first thing is that you should not have a doc type at the top of those HTML5 documents. It starts with that XML declaration and then the HTML element. I think I've missed a slide here. Then the next important thing is this meta char set, which is a character set element, which you can see here on the 1, 2, 3, 4th line. It's vitally essential that you declare what language your document is in, what character set is used for your document. This used to be done with a different syntax in XHTML 1.1. This is the new syntax for HTML5. HTML5, if you've looked at it at all, has different flavors of its own. It's not only that there's, you know, HTML4, HTML5, or whatever, transitional and frame set and blah, blah, blah. With HTML5, there's actually different syntaxes, different serializations, they're called. And so what that means is in HTML5, you don't actually have to quote your attributes. You don't have to have closing tags. You don't have to have lowercase element and attribute names. You can mix case as you like. And you don't have to have attribute values if they're the same as the name of the attribute. That's in HTML5. EPUB 3, however, uses what's called the XHTML syntax. And so all of those things that we've gotten used to over the years in XHTML are still required for EPUB 3's HTML5. So that's something to keep in mind. So yes, you do have to quote your attributes and et cetera, et cetera. And in this example that I've got here, we've got class equals basic paragraph with no quotes. That would pass HTML5 validation, but it won't pass EPUB 3. And finally, sort of one of the another nuts and bolts kind of thing is that the file name should end with .xhtml. In EPUB 2, it could be .html or .xhtml. In EPUB 3, it's .xhtml. And then finally, we get to these new features that are part of HTML5 that you can now incorporate or not into your EPUB 3 books. Things like audio and video, canvas, local storage, JavaScript, MathML, Asian language support, and more things. I'm going to show you a little bit, some of those, in a few minutes. But first I want to tell you about CSS in EPUB 3. I'm not going to show you all the syntax because basically it's the same as it always has been. The CSS that's allowed or supported in EPUB 3 is CSS 2.1, except for fixed positioning, and except for language direction directives, which come in a different place. And then there are modules added on. So there are some properties from all of the CSS modules listed here: speech, fonts, text, writing modes, media queries, et cetera, et cetera. So I haven't made a huge long list of what CSS you can have and what you can't, but it exists. It's in the spec. So let's look at what these things look like in an actual EPUB 3 document. We'll start with audio. There was one thing I wanted to say more about CSS. But I don't remember now. Sorry. So let's start with audio. The audio element has been a part of HTML5 for some time. Apple actually allowed people to add it to EPUB 2 documents, I think more than a year ago. which made their EPUB 2 documents stop being able to be validated by EPUB Check 2 because it's not part of EPUB 2. So the fact that EPUB 3 now supports HTML5, which officially supports the audio element, means that those documents will now validate, which is a good thing. And in the spec, it does require support for the MP3 format. It recommends support for MP4. And so here's an example. I guess we don't have any audio, but basically, you've probably all seen it. It's, you know, there's an audio element in your document. You can press the play button, and it plays right there in the EPUB document. It's created from this audio element with a source attribute that points right at the MP3 file. It's important to put the controls, equals in parentheses, controls in there so that the play and pause buttons appear. And so now this is an official part of HTML5 and EPUB 3. The video element, like audio, was allowed by Apple, has been allowed by Apple for some time, but now, again, it's official part of HTML5 and EPUB 3. As Liza mentioned, the spec does not require support for any particular codec, but recommends that e-readers support H.264 and VP8 or VP8. Neither of them is required. Videos should be, and I recommend that you use the MP4 extension, the format, for want of a better word. And here's an example of that. Just a regular video on an EPUB 3, in an EPUB 3 book. This is also in iBooks. Again, we have this video element. The source goes to the MP4 file that contains the video. It's important to put the controls. And then with video, there's an extra attribute that points out a JPEG image, which is called a poster, which will appear underneath that play button before the video is played. So it's sort of the initial image for your video. One of the exciting new features in EPUB 3 is MathML, is the support for MathML. In the spec, and it's supported to varying degrees in the EPUB 3 readers that are currently available. It can only be presentational at MathML, but you don't need to add any extra bits to your documents. You can use conventional tools to create your equations in MathML. It looks a little bit like this. In fact, it looks exactly like this. Here on the left is the MathML code, which I actually copied out of a Wikipedia page. And on the right, you can see what that looks like in iBooks. This is pretty important because it means that it makes it a lot easier for publishers that have complicated equations, you know, math books and textbooks and whatever, to be free of the limitations of image formats. You can make it bigger and smaller, and it can be much more flexible in terms of what devices it'll work on. Footnotes is Apple announced, when Apple announced a couple weeks ago that they were supporting EPUB 3 in the iBookstore, they also had this curiously worded announcement about supporting pop-up footnotes. They didn't actually say how they were doing it. And the good news is that how they're doing it is exactly the way the spec suggests, which is really wonderful. And it consists of The spec says, okay, what we want is you to semantically code your footnotes, and we want to know what's a footnote. And then if an e-reader wants to associate special behavior with that footnote, it can. And it can do it in the way that that e-reader is best able to do. So I'll show you how that works. To identify what's a footnote, a footnote sort of has two parts. There's the link, the little number, or the bracket, or the star, or whatever it is that says, okay, if you click on this, you're gonna see a footnote. And then there's the footnote itself that contains the content of the footnote. So for the link, you have to add EPUB colon type equals note ref to the A element, to the anchor element. And then you have to have something to identify that this link goes with this footnote and not that footnote over there. And so you have to target the ID of the of the footnote itself, which you can see on the second line. And then the footnote itself, in iBooks, if you put it in a side element, which is a new feature of HTML5, and a side element is a way of formatting. It's a section element that iBooks treats it as hidden text initially. It's in HTML5, it's supposed to be used for sidebars and anything that's not central to the main text in the document. But if you use it for a footnote, what iBooks does is it says, okay, I'm going to hide this until the person, the reader, wants to see it, which is the perfect, for me, a perfect way for it to treat footnotes. And then you have to tell it that it's a footnote by adding the EPUB type attribute equals footnote, and then the anchor name, the ID name, excuse me, which of course matches what you had in the link. And then, this is what it looks like in iBooks when it's already being shown. So you can see that down here on the left, you can see the little number 1, which is the link. I've pressed that button here so that the footnote pops up. If you press it again, it disappears, which is kind of wonderful. And you can see that underneath that paragraph, there's no text. The footnote does not appear unless the person clicks it. And this, again, is automatic behavior by iBooks. You don't have to do any JavaScript. You don't have to do anything special for this to happen. It follows the spec pretty much to the letter. Here's a footnote. This is what you should do with it. Another new feature of HTML5 is Canvas. And it's also available in EPUB 3. Canvas, the element itself is very basic, but to use it, you need to know how to use the Canvas API, which basically says, this is how you draw a line, and this is how you make a circle, and so there's all these rules about how to do those things. And then to make them happen, you have to add a JavaScript layer on top of that that says, when the reader presses their finger here, then use that bit of the Canvas API to make this particular thing happen. I don't know how to do all of that. Luckily, Sanders Kleinfeld does, and he made this very nice example for HTML5 for Publishers, which is a free book from O'Reilly that has this Canvas example in it. It has all of the code in it as well. One thing to keep in mind about Canvas is that there's not currently a way to save information in iBooks that's created with Canvas. So although you can turn the page and come back and have this lovely image continue to be there, if you close the book and reopen the book, it disappears. So for better or worse, that information is temporary. Asian language support is much improved. In fact, it exists. You can do vertical writing. One of my big frustrations is that I cannot read any languages that require vertical writing or you know, foreign alphabets. So it's difficult for me to test. But I was able to look at this example of a Japanese novel in iBooks. I'm pretty sure that this is it's not exactly the way that it should look, but it's a start. And one of the things that I also noticed in iBooks is that it's not quite there yet. In the table of contents, you can choose different chapters, and when you go to a particular chapter in iBooks, it actually brings you to the leftmost page, which in a left-to-right reading system would be the first page, but which in Japanese is the last page. So it's not. So it's still support in e-readers is still in its initial stages. But I'm hoping to learn a little bit more and be able to recognize more characters so I can do some more testing in this. One of the nice new features, again, is multiple columns. You can choose to have, you know, 2 or 3 columns on a page, and then when you change the size of the text, it reflows and stays in those columns. This is done with pure CSS, which you can see right here, and I'm not going to go through it step by step. And that works pretty well in all of those e-readers that I've showed you. Fixed layout is a tricky issue with EPUB 3. It's one of the places where it's a tricky issue now because fixed layout is difficult to write. There aren't good tools for creating fixed layout. And unfortunately, Apple and Barnes & Noble and Amazon all have different formats for fixed layout. So it's not only it's bad enough that you have to do it once, but you actually have to do it multiple times for the same book. And it's making it difficult to create those books. So the IDPF published their spec for fixed layout in EPUB 3, I think a month ago, something like that. It's very recent. And Apple and Barnes & Noble were both involved in creating that spec. And so it's very similar to what the IDPF has come out with is actually very similar to what is being used currently by Apple. Barnes & Noble uses, from what I've heard, I have not seen it myself, a JPEG-based fixed layout format. And I'm hoping that they, with this new IDPF-sponsored fixed layout format, will come over to the right side. So what does fixed layout look like in EPUB 3? It's very similar to, again, what Apple has been using for the last year or so. And the difference is here again at the top of the at the top of the content.opf file. You're going to put version equals 3.0. And then the bit about fixed layout is that you have to put the prefix equals rendition with this URL. And that signals that you want to specify how the book should be laid out. The default is that a book be reflowable. And one of the interesting things about the default, the options, there's three options. They are, layout, orientation, and spread. So the layout can be prepaginated, or it can be, it's going to go right out of my head right now, or reflowable, excuse me. And again, the default is reflowable. And the default applies to all of the documents in your EPUB 3 file. But then you can specify in the metadata section up at the top of your page, you can specify different options. So you can say, no, I want it to be prepaginated, and then I want the orientation to be this or that. So there's sort of three levels of values. One is when you say the prefix equals rendition at the top, then you're using the default values, which are prepaginated, which are... Oh, I'm making this a mess of this. Let me start over. The default values that are specified when you say prefix rendition are that it be reflowable and that the orientation and the spread be automatic. At the top of your document in the metadata section, you can then say, okay, I want these to be the default options, that it be prepaginated and that the orientation be always vertical, for example, and that there be facing pages on vertical pages as well. But then the EPUB 3 lets you specify these options for individual documents. And you do that in the spine. And the benefit of that is that you could have a mixed flowing and fixed layout book. You could have whole sections of flowing text, and then you could have full page images. And so you can take advantage of the best of both worlds. I want to talk about orientation a little bit. Orientation could be automatic, it can be horizontal, it can be vertical. And what that means is that if you have, if you insist that a book be viewed horizontally, if you change the orientation of your device, your book will turn with it. So if you turned the device vertically, your book would be horizontally the other direction, to put it that way. The spread has to do with facing pages and whether or not you want to allow your book to be laid out on pages two pages next to each other. And again, you can say when the device is held horizontally, yes, I want to allow there to be facing pages. But if it's held vertically, I don't want you to be able to. I want you to only show one page at a time. In the HTML5 document, the viewport is required, just as it is in the in the Apple spec. This is where you specify the viewport is a kind of a difficult concept because what you're specifying is the aspect ratio of your pages. And here I've got 934 by 1400. It's not exactly pixels. Those refer to pixels, but since there is no device that I know of that measures 934 by 1400, the device, what it does is it reduces or expands your viewport size to fit the device that you're looking at the book on. So by specifying 934 by 1400, you're really saying the aspect ratio of my book is this proportion. It does. You couldn't just say 2:3, however, because it turns out that iBooks looks at the size that you specify, and it determines some amount of zoomability by the size that you use. And so what I recommend is to use the largest size that you can that matches your desired aspect ratio, but that multiplied together is less than 2 million. And that's because of iBooks' requirement that you not have images larger than 2 megapixels on each page. And finally, a little bit of a hack. Since Apple does not currently officially support EPUB3 fixed layout files in the iBook Store, I recommend adding the COM file, which is the file that turns on fixed layoutness in iBooks. You can add this file into your EPUB3 document. It does not break validation, and what it does is it makes it so that the EPUB3 fixed layout file works both in EPUB3 readers, and it works in iBooks. And I'll show you that. This is a fixed layout book in Readium, which is the IDPF's EPUB3 reader. You can see here that it's there's a two-page spread, a big image that crosses both pages, and then that very same document in iBooks also works, which is a good thing. And I think I flew through it. I did not put a timer. 12:30. No, not too bad. So I write a lot about EPUB. I have written a book called EPUB Straight to the Point, and I've also started writing smaller guides that focus on individual parts of aspects of creating ebooks. And these you can find at my website, elizabethcastro.com/EPUB. I also, because there is so much going on in this field, and I'm constantly doing tests and looking at what works in this e-reader and how do you create this special effect in this other e-reader, I write a lot on my blog, which has a curious name of Pigs, Gourds, and Wikis. And so there you can find an explanation of all of my different experiments and also some more mainstream tips and tricks about how to get images to work right or how to get, margins or whatever it is. You can find me at Twitter a lot, probably too often, at Liz Castro. I tweet a lot about e-production. That tag, e-production with hardly any vowels, is impossible to type, but it is absolutely essential for learning about creating EPUBs. There's a lot of people there who are very generous with their time and their knowledge. And finally, you can always reach me by email. I think that's all. If you have any questions, happy to take them. Hi. I can't hear you. Yeah, a little bit.
One question about e-books and e-book 3. Have you seen any new interactivity for maybe question answering, like multiple choice or true and false, kind of like we saw with iAuthor and Apple?
Well, the problem, I think, with question answer things right now is that temporal, that Apple particularly isn't letting you save any information in the book. So, and in fact, I think it may be that it doesn't even save information from chapter to chapter. While it's true you can change a page, I'm not at all sure that you can go to a different file, it loads it, and then loses all the rest. So that's one of the problems, and I'm not sure if they're working to allow that to be more robust or not. I'm not sure. I would love to know, though.
Thank you.
Um, Do you know if any of the EPUB readers besides iBooks are supporting media overlays? And I know iBooks isn't doing it exactly EPUB 3-like, but...
I'm sorry.
The media overlays feature?
Yes. In EPUB 3? Both Azardi and Readium, I think, are supporting media overlays.
Readium and the other one that you mentioned?
I believe so.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
My name is Michel Bizinski. I'm here.
Hi.
I have a question about changing pages, and actually two questions. One is that on the iPad, I've seen that there's lines that are split. There's half of the line that's still on the page, and the second half on the other page, and I'm not sure exactly how to treat that. So I want to know if you weren't through this problem. And the second thing is I want to know how good the widows and orphans from CSS is supported in the readers.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. It's about the widow and orphan feature of CSS, which prevents things to be broken from one page to the other. I wanted to know if it's implemented in the readers.
So the first part of the question was, sometimes lines are broken. Half of the text is on the bottom of the page and half on the other.
Yeah.
I think that can sometimes be fixed by changing the line height, is what I've tried. I think that when we're trying to... A lot of e-production lately seems to be about sort of adjusting very carefully different things. It's like using duct tape a little bit to fix... And I think iBooks has its own algorithms about, you know, where it... How much space it... How to put it? How to divide those lines and when to make it go to the next page. So I think being more flexible about how much space between lines or trying to keep our elements together can solve some of that issue about broken lines. And then were you mentioning the fonts? The fact that EPUB 3 now requires support of the WOFF and also OpenType, if I'm not mistaken. Yes?
I was mentioning the widow and orphan feature of CSS.
Well, I'm not sure I'm familiar with that.
Okay. I just wanted to know if you know. Okay. Thank you.
One thing I did want to mention that I remembered about CSS that I forgot to say during the presentation was that there's an interesting part in the spec that says that any e-reader that supports a CSS viewport, which basically means if you have CSS in your document, the spec says you're supposed to support all of the CSS that's required by the spec, which is that list that I gave you. So it'll be interesting to see if e-reader manufacturers comply with that requirement.
Thank you.
My name is John Costa. As an extension to the question about having the evaluation in the document, in the EPUB 3, mm-hmm. is there any mechanism to create a session with an external device or database where a testing scenario could be placed into a book?
I'm sorry, I'm having a really hard time hearing.
If we could put a... an external session or activate an external session from within the EPUB that's going to talk, if you're online, with a remote database to take evaluation questions and answers back and forth.
I don't think there's anything like that planned on right now. There's a lot of security issues around that. There was some talk about... Sorry, is that okay? There was some talk about being able to connect to external files like audio and video. But I'm not at all sure that there's any thought about connecting with external databases, because I think that opens up a Pandora's box of security issues that people are worried about. But honestly, I'm not sure about the details. I do tend to be very... I like to work with things that are working right now. I don't get so much into the theoretical. I'm not good at saying, you know, next year we're going to be able to do this. I want to know what's working right now on this reader and that reader and how to make it look good. That's what I focus on. Any other questions?
Yes, I've got a question.
Yes.
This is regarding the fixed layout format. Normally, fixed layouts work well with the iOS and, like you mentioned, using the FXL in Nook. What about the other Android devices? How do you support the fixed layout in them?
What about the other e-readers that don't support fixed layout? Is that the question?
Yeah, in the Android devices, how do you make them, you know,
well,
open them?
I think part of the... Well, there's a couple issues about fixed layout. One is that I think publishers are overusing it. I think that fixed layout appeals to people because they say, I've got this beautiful book, and I can recreate it in EEP format, and it'll look exactly the same. It's wonderful. Except that they forget that a lot of people read on things that are this big. Like me, this is my preferred e-reader. And so fixed layout is a problem for all of those e-readers that don't really support it, and even ones that do but don't support it in a way that makes it legible. And then another part of the problem is that there are this fragmentation of how it's been implemented up till now. And so I'm hoping that the fact that the IDPF has published this spec about EPUB 3 will help so that in two ways. One, it'll have people all using the same format for fixed layout. And two, the fact that you can combine fixed layout and flowing means that you could have your text in a really accessible format. And you could make it bigger and smaller, and you could have media overlays so that you could have it be, you know, convert text to speech. And you could also have those beautiful layouts that are full screen, however small that screen might be.
I've got another question.
Yes?
This is
Speak up a little louder. It's really hard to hear.
Sure. This is regarding the support in browsers. Right? Like, you have the support of EPUB 3 if you try using Readium, but what about the others?
That's a good question. Currently, you know, there are plugins for browsers, a little bit like the old way that you used to have to have a plugin for, you know, audio or video, but, you know, there aren't native EPUB readers in browsers yet. That would be a wonderful thing. There are a lot of people who say that, you know, we're going to leave EPUB 3 behind and go directly to HTML5. Again, I'm not really good at making those kinds of predictions, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
Thank you.
One more question.
Can I ask you one more question? I'd like to ask about fonts.
Fonts. Okay, yeah. Talk really loud, though.
Okay. We're currently experiencing an issue with our licensing of fonts. We're an educational publisher, So we don't really have any option at the moment other than fixed layout, because if we do a reflowable layout, often we'll have a question about a picture that isn't there, for example.
Right.
So we're kind of in this double bind with font licensing, where we're not allowed to provide an e-book conversion house with our fonts. Obviously, they have to buy them themselves.
Right.
If they do some font substitution, it's quite often that font, the font that they use will have slightly different metrics, which will push the fixed layout out. So I just wondered if you knew of any kind of ongoing focus groups or something that's going to deal with it. I mean, it's a potentially explosive problem.
Right.
Because I know for a fact that a lot of publishers are actually sending their fonts out to third-party houses, and that's in contravention of their license agreement.
Right. I don't know what exact work is being done in that area. It's definitely an issue. I know, for example, that there are initiatives like Google Web Fonts that are making fonts available for use in EPUBs, but I don't know. And I know that, for example, in EPUB 3, they are requiring the support of WOFF and OpenType. And so I think those are attempts to solve some of those problems, but the licensing issues and whatnot, I'm not that up on, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you very much.